Lionsgate Films, a Lionsgate Entertainment Company. Evolution Management. Evolution Management presents a Berg, Cools, Hoffman production. A film by James Wan. A small blue light, chained to a float, drifts through clear liquid, illuminating the face of an unconscious man. Saw. As the pale light drifts through the inky darkness, the man suddenly wakes. His foot kicks a plug, and the liquid quickly drains away. While the man sits up, coughing and spluttering, the light is sucked down the plug hole, and the bath he's in empties. Heaving himself out, he slumps to the floor in darkness. His ankle has been chained to something.
Ah, someone help me!
Is someone there? Hey! Shit, I'm probably dead.
You're not dead.
Who's that? Who's that?
No point in yelling. I already tried that.
Turn on the lights!
I would if I could.
What the fuck is going on? Where am I?
I don't know yet.
What is that smell?
Shh. Hang on a second. I think I found something.
The pale, dark-haired man from the bath flinches from a series of lights that buzz into life above him. As his sight recovers, he discerns a large, squalid bath and shower room. Strip lights hang from a high ceiling, and grime-stained tiles cover most of the four cement walls, which are also riddled with rusting pipework. A pallid man with short blonde hair kneels at the opposite end of the room, and there's a dingy toilet on a side wall between them. Something in the center of the room draws horrified expressions from them both. A man sprawled on his front in a pool of blood, his head gouged, a tape player in his right hand, and a gun in his left. While the dark-haired man gags, the other stranger, whose ankle is chained to a pipe, shuffles forward, taking in the sickening scene. He then moves back. Suddenly, his cellmate succumbs to panic and tugs the thick chain holding him. A large padlock prevents his escape.
No one can hear you.
What the fuck is this?
Calm down. Just calm down. Are you hurt?
I don't know. Yeah.
What's your name?
My name is very fucking confused. What's your name? What's going on here?
My name is Lawrence Gordon. I'm a doctor. I just woke up here, just like you.
Lawrence's cellmate struggles to push the metal shackle over his ankle.
Recognize him?
No.
The body between them.
Well, do you have any idea how you got here?
No.
What's the last thing you remember?
Nothing. I went to bed in my shithole apartment and woke up in an actual shithole. What about you, huh?
There's not much to tell. I was on my way home from work, and I don't remember anything else.
The dark-haired man eventually gives up on the chain and breathes heavily.
First dead body I've ever seen. Look different in real life. They don't move.
Lawrence lowers himself stiffly into a sitting position.
Looks at these chains. Someone didn't want us to go very far either.
Can you see any scars?
What?
Huh? This is what they do, man. They kidnap you and drug you. Before you know it, you're lying in a bathtub and your kidneys are on eBay.
No one has taken your kidneys.
How can you tell from way over there?
Because you'd either be in terrible agony or you'd be dead by now. Trust me.
What, are you a surgeon?
Yeah. So, you gonna tell me your name, or what?
They share an empathic look.
Adam.
Well, Adam, what we need to do is start thinking about why we're here. Whoever brought us here could have killed us by now, but they didn't. They must want something from us. Question is, what?
Gazing around the room in his sweat-stained blue shirt, Lawrence notices something.
That clock.
What about it?
It's brand new.
So?
So, somebody obviously wanted us to know the time.
It reads 10:20.
Wait, I think I might be able to reach the door.
Lawrence leans over towards a heavy metallic door stained brown. He pushes against it. Meanwhile, Adam turns out the pockets of his jeans and discovers a clear plastic bag containing an envelope with his name on it. Lawrence turns to Adam as he produces a small cassette tape from the envelope.
What is that?
Adam just stares at the tape.
Excuse me.
It's a tape.
Well, where'd you find it?
It's in my pocket.
Lawrence checks his pockets as well and quickly finds an identical envelope with his name on. Adam reads the cassette.
It says, play me.
Lawrence, whose left cheek is grazed, hurriedly tears his envelope open. Amongst the items that drop into his hand is another cassette with play me written on it. He then glances towards Adam. He's also been given a single bullet and a key. Lawrence sits and tries the key in his shackles, and then the padlock securing his chain to the pipe.
Come on, come on.
Throw it over here!
Lawrence considers before throwing the key to Adam. It doesn't work on his shackles, so he tries his padlock instead.
No.
In response to Lawrence, Adam throws the key aside. But then notices the tape player in the hand of the body in the centre of the room. Both men look at their cassettes. Adam rereads the written play me note on it, lies on the floor, and tries to reach the player. His chain restricts him.
Use your shirt.
What?
Your shirt.
Adam cottons on, removing the shirt he's wearing, and with encouragement from Lawrence, sprawls out towards the body once more and attempts to draw the player to him with the garment.
Come on.
A cuff lands on the player, but doesn't draw it back.
It won't work. Well, look around. There must be something else you can use.
Nothing.
Well, there must be something.
Adam peers into the bath and snatches up the plug, which is secured to a chain. He fastens it onto his shirt cuff and sets about using it to hook through the looped handle of the player.
Come on, you can do it.
His first cast misses.
Come on, come on. Again.
On his third cast, the plug lands through the handle. Successfully hooking the plug on the handle, Adam's able to draw the device along the dusty floor. He picks it up and inserts his cassette.
Rise and shine, Adam. You're probably wondering where you are. I'll tell you where you might be. You might be in the room that you die in. Up until now, you've simply sat in the shadows, watching others live out their lives. But what do voyeurs see when they look into the mirror? Now I see you as a strange mix of someone angry, yet apathetic, but mostly just pathetic. So are you going to watch yourself die today, Adam, or do something about it?
I don't get it.
Throw me the player.
No. You throw me your tape.
Look, we're gonna have to work together if we want to get out of here. Now just throw it to me.
I'm not gonna risk breaking it. You throw me your tape.
Lawrence hesitates, but then does so. Adam scrambles for the tape, wincing in pain, then places it into the player.
Dr. Gordon, this is your wake-up call. Every day of your working life, you have given people the news that they're going to die soon. Now you will be the cause of death. Your aim in this game is to kill Adam. You have until 6 o'clock to do it. There's a man in the room with you. When there's that much poison in your blood, the only thing left to do is shoot yourself. There are ways to win this. Hidden all around you. Just remember, X marks the spot for the treasure. If you do not kill Adam by 6, then Allison and Diana will die, Dr. Gordon. And I'll leave you in this room to rot. Let the game begin.
Adam stops the tape. The time is 25 to 11. Lawrence gets to his feet.
Give me that. Now.
Adam throws him the player, and Lawrence rewinds his tape.
And Allison and Diana will die, Dr. Gordon. And I'll leave you in this room to rot.
Any idea who that is?
Let the game begin.
He knows us. What do you think? Probably a joke, right?
Shh.
Let the game begin.
Listen.
Follow your heart.
Both men look thoughtful. Lawrence stops the tape and scans the pipework.
The hell does follow your heart mean?
Lawrence eyes some pipework over to the toilet and sees a heart drawn in grime.
There, right next to you, on the toilet.
With an air of repulsion, Adam bends over the filthy latrine and peers in.
Come on, come on.
Sighing, Adam reaches in to the thick brown murk. He stops feeling around and snatches his hand out.
Anything?
No solids.
Take off the lid. Come on.
Adam begrudgingly heaves the porcelain lid from the cistern and retrieves a package from the water. He looks at Lawrence.
I really wish I had checked in there first.
Huh. What is it?
Adam tears at the black plastic packaging and peers inside, then shares a look of uncertainty with Lawrence. He pulls out 2 hacksaws. Dropping one to the floor, he grasps the other and eagerly attempts to cut his chains.
Hey. Mind passing me the other one?
Throwing the other saw past Lawrence, Adam waits for him to turn and collect it before dropping the plastic packaging into the bath out of sight. Both men then set about freeing themselves. Adam presses harder and harder in desperation, but then...
Fuck!
His blade snaps and he hurls the saw in frustration, breaking a shard from a mirror mounted on the opposite wall to the toilet. Lawrence doubles his efforts, but Adam's despair is infectious. They slump back in their respective corners, exhausted, and gripped by fear. Then Lawrence's eyes flash open and he suddenly studies his saw with a morbid realization. While Adam hangs his head, Lawrence shakes his, resigned to his fate.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet. I think I may know who's done this to us.
What did you say?
Well, it's not someone I know personally. It's just someone I know of.
Jesus Christ, tell me! Who is it?
Last I heard, police still hadn't caught him. The only reason I know that is because I was a suspect. I'll start from the beginning.
Two men and a woman discover a body.
This one's not fresh anymore. At least 3 weeks out. Victim's a 46-year-old male. Died of massive blood loss, mostly through the femoral artery.
The large man's in a cage and wearing only briefs.
He started at the back of the cage and tunneled his way through that razor wire so fast, it's amazing he got as far as he did. Cut himself so deep, we found traces of stomach acid on the floor.
Still photos documenting the gruesome scene.
We also found this.
A tape player in an evidence bag.
Hello, Paul. You are a perfectly healthy, sane, middle-class male. Yet last month, you ran a straight razor across your wrist. Did you cut yourself because you truly wanted to die, or did you just want some attention? Tonight, you'll show me. The irony is that if you want to die, you just have to stay where you are. But if you want to live, you'll have to cut yourself again. Find the path through the razor wire to the door. But hurry. At 3 o'clock, that door will lock. And then, this room becomes your tomb. How much blood will you shed to stay alive, Paul?
Door was on a timer. It was unlocked until 3 o'clock. Then it slammed shut. He was given 2 hours.
Paul's frantic struggle with the razor wire maze until the timer reaches 3.
Jigsaw piece.
Cut from Paul's back. Detective Tapp turns to another colleague.
I think we're gonna be here for a while, see?
The newspaper started calling him the Jigsaw Killer. Actually, technically speaking, he's not really a murderer. He never killed anyone. He finds ways for his victims to kill themselves.
Hello, Mark. If you're so sick, then why do I have so many photos of you up and about? Let's put your so-called illness to the test. Right now, there's a slow-acting poison in your veins. The antidote is inside the safe. The combination to the safe is written on the wall. Hurry up and program it in, but watch your step. But by the way, that's a flammable substance smeared on your body. So I would be careful with that candle, if I were you, or all the people you've burned with your act just might have their revenge.
Mark's hasty candlelit search for the combination amongst thousands on the wall leads to his charred remains.
I found something else. Well, two things, actually. There was someone standing outside here watching through this peephole. Looks like our friend Jigsaw likes to book himself front row seats to his own sick little games. He was there at the last one as well. Only this time, he left us his penlight.
Kerry, an attractive curly-haired brunette, hands the evidence to Tapp, a black man with haggard features.
Get a rush on the prince.
Copy that.
Okay, this patient has an inoperable frontal lobe tumor extending across the midline. Started as colon cancer. The patient has come in for a standard checkup by which we are able to monitor the rate at which his condition is declining. The patient had...
His name is John. Dr. Gordon. He's a very interesting person.
Thank you for that information, Zeb. As you can see, our orderlies form very special bonds with the patients. Continuing on, the patient had... Obviously, someone doesn't want me to tell you what the patient has. Excuse me.
Lawrence leaves his student doctors.
Dr. Gordon,
I'm Detective Tapp. This is Detective Singh, City Homicide. Very impressive.
Thank you. I do my best.
Qualifications on his wall.
Sorry to interrupt you while you're working.
It's fine. Now, how can I help you, gentlemen?
Are you able to tell us where you were between the hours of 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. last night, Doctor?
Why is it that you're interested?
We'd like to ask you a few questions about it. For your sake, I think it's best if we do it down at the station. Would you like to follow us there?
I'm afraid that's quite out of the question. I can't just leave. I have work to do, and plus my wife has the car today, so...
It's okay. You can ride with us. Doc?
Lawrence eyes Tap and his younger Oriental colleague anxiously.
I'm sorry. You'll have to tell me again. What is this all about?
This is yours, Doctor.
Tap holds up the medical light pen in a clear evidence bag and rests it on Lawrence's desk. The doctor picks it up with a puzzled frown that withers under pressure.
So you have no idea how your pen light showed up at the murder scene?
Of course not, Brett.
Lawrence's lawyer shrugs.
I have to ask, what were you doing last night?
Lawrence paces the interview room.
I was seeing someone.
Who?
Lawrence continues pacing, and Brett drops his pen impatiently.
Look, if you can't be honest with me...
I was visiting someone. It wasn't a patient. All right?
He leans over the desk between them.
What am I gonna do?
Well, as your lawyer and your friend, my advice to you is to bite the bullet and give them your alibi now. Because no one's gonna believe you later.
That was 5 months ago.
Having thrown down his saw, Lawrence shrugs.
Try to set me up for murder.
Okay. You checked your alibi, it holds up.
Good. Can I go home now?
We have one of the victims who managed to escape. Want to know if you wouldn't mind sticking around and listening to her testimony? Maybe it'll trigger something.
I'd like to help, really, but I got...
We'd really appreciate it. She's the only one who made it.
Okay.
Singh and Lawrence observe a timid brown-haired woman in the next room with Tap.
Amanda, in your own time, tell me the first thing you remember.
Slowly, she raises her head, revealing her drawn features and faint scars around her mouth. Her head twitches as she fights haunting images plaguing her mind.
Woke up. All I could taste was blood and metal.
A large, rusty, spring-loaded contraption is secured to her head and padlocked. There's a timer device attached to the back with a wire leading from it. She's strapped to a chair in squalid confines. A TV blinks on beside her, revealing a white, large-nosed puppet with red swirls emphasizing prominent cheeks. The chilling figurine turns its insane, bulbous-eyed gaze towards her.
Hello, Amanda. You don't know me, but I know you. I want to play a game. Here's what happens if you lose. The device you're wearing is hooked into your upper and lower jaws. When the timer in the back goes off, your mouth will be permanently ripped open. Think of it like a reverse bear trap. Here, I'll show you.
Using a mannequin with an identical device. The fake head explodes as the trap springs open. The puppet continues.
There is only one key to open the device. It's in the stomach of your dead soulmate. Look around, Amanda. Know that I'm not lying. You better hurry up. Live or die. Make your choice.
The puppet's unblinking stare turns to snow before the screen blacks out. Amanda writhes in her chair under a spotlight above her head and eventually frees herself and stands. But in so doing, releases a pin the wire was attached to, initiating the timer. She panics, trying to remove the counter, and the room spins wildly. In the police interview room, she shakes her head with her hands by her sides. Next door, a disturbed Lawrence sits transfixed.
And then I saw the body.
Hyperventilating, she crosses the dull cement room to stand over the body of a man. She kneels over him and lifts his black sweater to reveal his stomach. A question mark.
There was a knife.
Grasping the tiny blade in her shaking hands, she brings it over the man's stomach. The timer continues ticking away at the back of her head. But then, the man's eyes open drowsily. He spots Amanda raising the knife, and they widen. Singh throws a bagged syringe in front of Lawrence.
He's been injected with an opiate overdose. Couldn't move or feel much of anything.
You mean, he was alive?
Was.
Tap to Amanda.
What happened after you took it off?
Flashbacks of Amanda rifling through the man's bloody entrails until she finds the key in his stomach. She reaches around the back of her head and fumbles desperately for the lock, then with blood-stained hands, jams the key in and hurls the trap aside. It springs open instantly. Distraught, Amanda raises a bloody hand. Her wailing subsides when she becomes aware of a figure pedaling slowly towards her from a dimly lit corridor up ahead. It enters the room on a tricycle, revealing itself to be the puppet from the TV, and stops a short distance from her.
Congratulations, you are still alive. Most people are so ungrateful to be alive, but not you, not anymore.
You are, in fact, a drug addict. Isn't that right, Mandy?
She nods.
Do you think that is why he picked you?
She nods again.
Are you grateful, Mandy?
She looks up with tear-stained eyes.
He helped me.
Tap turns to look through the window at Lawrence in the neighboring room. His face is set in a state of horrified disbelief. Descending from Amanda's sobbing face to a coffee cup on the desk, then darkness. Back in the secluded bathroom, a strip light hangs precariously from its housing, flickering madly. Having listened, Adam glances over towards Lawrence.
Are you sure it's him?
Yeah, I'm sure.
How do I know you're telling the truth? You could be the one who put me in this room!
I'm in exactly the same situation that you're in.
Wrong! Wrong! You got one thing I don't! Information! You know who did this! Now you either tell me what is really going on, or I'll cut you with this, you hear me? I'll cut...
Adam suddenly studies the broken shard he's brandishing.
What?
It's a two-way mirror.
He drops the shard and hurls some debris at the mirror on the far wall. And repeats the effort. Behind is a windowed cavity in brickwork, housing a camera. A grainy black and white image of the room on a laptop computer sitting on a desk. A black gloved hand waves.
I can see you. I can't help you.
Can you hear me in there? Huh? I'm having a blast. This is the most fun I've had without lubricant. Make sure you're getting...
Adam throws more things towards the camera, but to little effect.
That's not gonna do anything.
You just wanna
leave it running on us?
Well, you won't stop it. Well, that's why we can't cut through these chains. It's why you won't break that glass. Every possible angle has been pre-thought out.
You sound like you admire this prick.
To overcome something, you have to understand what a perfect engine it is. That's how you fight disease. Now, the tape told us to find an X. That X has to be somewhere in this room. Help me find it.
How can you be the calm doctor guy when your wife and kid are out there? He's got them, too. He could be doing anything to them right now. Are you thinking about that?
I am thinking about that.
Under Lawrence's weighty stare, Adam shifts awkwardly.
I've been thinking about the last thing I said to my daughter.
At the foot of a young girl's bed, she's tucked up asleep in it, cuddling a teddy, and has more soft toys around her. Her bedroom sits in near darkness. Thick, wavy blonde hair hangs over her shoulders. A wind chime rouses her from sleep. She sits up and draws the duvet back. Swiveling her legs round so she's in a sitting position, she stares innocently into the dark recesses of her room. Her gaze picks out the chimes, and she watches them for a long moment before getting out of bed altogether. A lavish clock with gold exposed workings. Its hands are in silver, along with its Roman numerals. The piece presides over a large living room, populated with expensive furniture. The little girl wanders through it in her pastel-patterned nightie, and pulls open a set of doors at the far end to reveal an adult's bedroom beyond. In a slow, processional manner, she moves up one side of a double bed and stares at the blonde woman sleeping there, who stirs and turns on a bedside lamp.
Diana, honey, are you okay? Diana, honey, can you hear me?
Mommy?
What is it, sweetie?
There's a man in my room.
Oh, honey, are you sure he's not just hiding in your imagination?
He talked to me.
Okay, I'll come and check your room.
I want Daddy. He'll get the scary man.
All right, if you want. Come on.
Hey, Larry. Sorry to bother you, but your daughter had a bad dream again.
Just a minute.
She wants you to check her room.
Mm-hmm. Just gotta finish this paragraph.
You know what, sweetie? I'll go check with you.
Nope, I'm done. See? There's no one in your room. There's no such thing as the bad man. Now can you go to sleep?
I'm still scared.
You are. Give me your tootsie.
Lawrence holds Diana's foot.
Tootsie. You remember this one? This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. This little piggy went wee all the way home.
He reads his pager.
I hate that thing.
Well, I have to go to work, sweetheart. You know what Daddy's job is like now. Come on.
He tucks her in under the duvet.
Try and get some sleep now, okay?
He kisses her on the forehead and heads to the door.
You're not gonna leave us, are you, Daddy?
What? What are you talking about? You mean leave you and Mommy? No, sweetheart. I would never do that. Who gave you that idea?
No one.
Well, it's not true. Okay?
Okay.
How much do I love you?
Love you very,
very much.
Much.
That's right.
Good night.
Good night, Daddy.
He gets up from her bed once more and turns the light out.
Tomorrow, I'll read you a favorite story.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know how much longer I can do this, Larry.
What? What are you talking about?
How can you walk through life pretending that you're happy?
I am happy.
That is complete bullshit.
I would rather you just break down and tell me that you hate me because there's some passion in the...
It's 1 o'clock in the bathroom cell. Lawrence reaches into his trouser pocket and hurls at him his wallet. Adam opens it up and looks at 2 small photos of Diana contained within.
She's beautiful. Thank you. You gonna have any more kids?
Oh, we've talked about it, but with our schedules, it's difficult enough to concentrate on one.
So where's the lucky wife?
There's another picture behind the one you're looking at. It's my favorite one, because we're all in it together. Someone, usually me, has to hold the camera, which means I'm always missing from the photos.
Instead, Adam finds a folded photo of Diana and Allison bound and gagged with regards and a jigsaw image drawn underneath.
X marks the spot. Sometimes you see more with your eyes shut.
It's not here.
What?
This photo you're talking about's not here.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Adam slings the wallet back to Lawrence, but keeps the photo which had Jigsaw's message written on the back. He studies it surreptitiously, while Lawrence searches for the missing snap.
He must have taken it,
How can you walk through life pretending that you're happy?
I am happy.
That is complete bullshit. I'd rather you break down and tell me that you hated me. At least there'd be some passion in it.
Lawrence picks up some keys and looks at Allison.
We'll talk about this later, okay?
She turns away when he tries to kiss her.
Just leave.
He clenches his jaw and goes. Diana's lying on her side in bed when the wardrobe door behind her swings open. She sits bolt upright in bed, breathing nervously. Scanning the room slowly, her gaze reaches the dark gap in the wardrobe doors.
Good night, little girl.
An eye watching her. The doors burst open. Allison finds a cloaked figure standing over her child. A figure in black wearing leather gloves is toying with a stethoscope and has a teddy tucked under one arm. The figure comes to stand before Diana and Allison, who've been gagged and bound to a post on Allison's bed. The figure crouches beside them, idly throws the teddy aside, and prepares to use the stethoscope on Diana. Allison struggles as he does so. The figure reaches into his jacket and pulls out a gun. He shows it to Diana and then reuses the stethoscope on her. Diana's heart rate escalates as she watches the figure hold the gun to her mum's head. The man then animates the teddy for Diana, leaves it in her lap, and pats her head before getting to his feet and stepping over to a curtained window. As he parts the curtains and peers outside, he's revealed to be Zepp, the hospital janitor.
Who are you, little man? I see you.
Zepp's image is captured on camera.
Does Dr. Gordon know you're at home this way?
in a dingy room littered with photos, clippings, and reports.
What are you doing there? Waiting for the doctor. I'm waiting for the doctor, too.
Tap straightens up stiffly and slumps onto a sofa in front of a TV with a live feed to the camera. Empty takeaways and paperwork are scattered over a coffee table.
I never should have let you go.
A montage of newspaper clippings. One bears the headline, Missing Man Discovered at Bizarre Murder Scene. Paul's Razor Death.
There's someone standing outside here watching.
I want to play a game.
Ah! Jeez, please. Think we're going to be here for a while, see?
Hello, woman.
Amanda's grisly escape.
Tell us where you were last night.
You have no idea how your pen life showed up at the murder scene.
Checked your alibi, it holds up.
Isn't that right, Doctor?
I never should have let you go.
Here we are. That was, quite an amazing story that poor woman told.
Tap nods and slowly turns to meet Lawrence's look. The doctor nods back awkwardly, releases his seatbelt, and then gets out of the car. Through the passenger window.
Look, I'm sorry, I can't be of more help to your investigation.
You know, we arrested a dentist last week. We like to play with kids a bit too much. He lived two blocks from here. The sewer lines run under this neighborhood, too.
Lawrence is unsettled by Tap's measured stare and walks away. The detective then starts the engine. Now Tap's studying the footage of the jigsaw puppet on a TV at his office desk.
Hello, Amanda. You don't know me, but I know you. I want to play a game. Here's what happens if you lose. There's a timer at the back of the device you're wearing. When the timer goes off...
Singh and some colleagues come in on their way through.
Yeah, I'll catch you guys down there.
Think of it like a reverse bear trap.
Tap watches the reverse bear trap demo again.
I'll show you.
The fake head is ripped apart.
Hey, Tap? We're gonna go down to the grill to get a beer. You wanna come?
I don't think so. Thanks anyway.
Well, you know, I always ask.
There is only one key I'll to open to have the fun device. It's in the stomach of your dead cellmate.
Hey, Tap. I don't mean for this to be disrespectful. Maybe you should find yourself a girlfriend.
It's in the stomach of your dead cellmate. Look around. Look around, Amanda. Know that I'm not lying. You better hurry up.
As Singh's leaving.
Wait. Hey, Singh! Get back here.
What?
Tap's colleague sighs, but comes back to the TV to look at a paused image. A graffiti tag on a wall.
Remember 118th Street?
K2K. That gang's territory was only about four blocks.
Now listen to this.
Listening to background noise on the tape, realization flashes across their faces.
We gotta check the records for all the fire emergencies that occurred in that area within the last 2 weeks.
Go, right now!
On the night of Tuesday the 17th, we got a fire alarm going off in the rear wing of 213 Stygian Street. It's an old listing, used to be a mannequin factory. You think we have enough for a warrant, though?
Who said anything about a warrant?
Right now.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Singh loads his gun and they leave. Driving through an industrial area at night.
At least we'll have the cover of darkness.
Yeah, well, so will anybody else.
They break the lock of a large counterweighted warehouse door and it slides open. Singh is the first to enter the darkened space, brandishing a shotgun. The detectives climb a stairway that's partially cloaked in smoke. They enter a long, open area cluttered with workbenches and electronic paraphernalia. Covering each other's back, Tap points out the K2K graffiti logo on a corrugated iron wall by a computer.
I got you.
Tap signals for his partner to follow him, and they pass under a line of lights hanging from a high ceiling. Then, upon passing through a doorway in a wire-framed partition, they discover some mannequins and a workshop where certain objects and areas are obscured under red sheeting. Tap turns his attention to one particular object resting on a workbench. He points it out to Singh. Tap reaches down to remove the red sheeting.
What the hell is this?
A scale model of the shower room scenario, complete with dolls representing Lawrence, Adam, and the body. The detectives move on to the next sheeted object. The evil-faced puppet, dressed in a black suit, white shirt and red bow tie. There's a pig's head mask beside it on the desk.
Fuck.
Under a neighbouring red sheet is a man secured in a chair. His mouth has been taped and there are two drills fixed to wooden arms on either side of his head. Tap and Singh train their weapons towards a lift.
What?
Let's see what he's going to do.
Why? We fucking got him.
I just want to make sure he's out. We don't know what he looks like. Let's see what he's going to do.
No fucking way.
Singh.
Fuck that. I'm going to take him. Come on. What the fuck?
Hey, Singh. Let's see what he's going
to do.
They recover the middle-aged captive and all the other objects. And conceal themselves as the lift appears. And a figure in a black silky cloak with red lining steps out. As the figure raises the lift door and steps into the workshop, Tap watches from his hiding place. The suspect limps up a set of steps towards the covered victim. Hunched over, the suspect raises a black-gloved hand and snatches the red sheet away, revealing the terrified man in the drill chair.
Awake already, Jeff. I need more powerful tranquilizers next time. Don't cry. I've given your life a purpose. You're a test subject for something greater than yourself.
Freeze! Please!
Hold it right there, don't move!
Put your fucking hands in the air!
The suspect activates the drills with a button on the floor.
Now you'll make a choice. In 20 seconds, the life of this man will be ended.
Shut up and get down here!
What'd you do? Turn it off!
Singh, stop that thing! I'm taking this bastard down!
Fine. How do you turn it off?
Tell him how to stop it, asshole!
One key will unlock it.
Where is it?
It's in the box.
Box!
Singh finds a large set in a metal tin. He tries one.
Which key? Which key?
Tell him which key it is!
Time's running out.
Shut up and get down here right now, asshole!
What's more important to you, officer, arresting me or the life of another human being?
Get down on your knees!
Tap! Which key is it?
Hands behind me!
Tap!
Sick bastard.
Yes, I'm sick, officer.
Tap! There's a bunch of keys here!
Sick from the disease eating away at me inside. Sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings. Sick of those who scoff at the suffering of others. I'm sick of it all!
The jigsaw suspect slices Tap's throat with a blade concealed in his cloak. Having shot the drills out, Singh manages to wound the jigsaw, who limps off down some stairs. He hands Singh the shotgun.
Okay, I'll be back. I'm gonna be back, okay? I'll be back.
Singh rushes off in pursuit, while Tap struggles to remain conscious. Singh's hurrying along a smoky service tunnel, illuminated with dim uplighting. As Singh reaches a dingy stairwell, Tap starts crawling along the floor. Singh readies the shotgun before proceeding down the darkened stairwell and cautiously rounding a corner.
Freeze! I'll shoot!
At the far end of a cluttered corridor lies the cloaked figure. Singh lowers his weapon and starts approaching the fallen suspect. Meanwhile, Tap hurries down after his colleague. Maintaining a degree of caution, Singh keeps his shotgun poised. A large cobweb spans the corridor before him, concealing a tripwire linked to the triggers of several overhead shotguns. As Tap staggers down to the corridor, Singh drops to his knees, thick blood oozing down his torso. Meanwhile, the cloaked figure gets to his feet and moves off, holding his side. He heaves open a door just as Tap appears at the far end of the corridor. Having slumped onto the steps, Tap doesn't notice the suspect escaping, but reaches out in dismay towards the body of his colleague, now lying in a pool of blood. The scene is documented. Now Tap's neck bears a scar, and he's in his dingy room, a testament to his jigsaw obsession.
Show your knees. You're running. You're running. You're running scared because we had you. We're going to close this case. Right, close it. Right, Singh. Right. We're going to close it, Singh.
Zeb studies Lawrence and Adam. Beside him, a clock reads 3:52.
X marks the spot. We need to search this room again. What are you doing over there?
Excuse me. Just because I'm stuck in this room with you doesn't mean I have to report to you every 10 seconds.
I really don't see the point in us not helping one another.
What do you want me to do? I'm on a leash.
That's exactly why we need to talk. We need to think.
I am thinking.
Well, then don't keep me in the dark about what you're thinking.
Adam had the photo of Lawrence's family.
Turn off the lights.
What? Turn them off now, please.
Why?
Just turn them off for a second.
With an uncertain scowl, Lawrence does as he's told. Darkness envelops the room, and on the tiles beside Lawrence is revealed a glowing X.
Jesus, behind you!
Lawrence throws his arms up.
How come we didn't see that before?
The lights in here hadn't charged yet. It must be glow-in-the-dark paint or something.
Lawrence turns the lights back on and uses the handle of his hacksaw to break through the X. He picks the tiles off to discover a small, crude wall cavity. When the gap is big enough, he reaches in and retrieves a box. Adam looks on, and Lawrence gives him a hopeful smile. Their progress continues to be monitored in black and white as Lawrence sets the metal box on the floor and sits down beside it.
Open it!
Lock. The one from my envelope, where is it?
Adam scans the floor around him.
Here.
Adam throws him the key, and Lawrence tries it in the box's padlock. It works. He removes the lock, flips a catch, and lifts the lid. Inside is a flip-open mobile phone.
Beautiful invention on this planet.
cigarette and lighter.
Make that second most beautiful invention.
Give me that. Are you joking? You're gonna put something that you found in this room in your mouth?
Yes, I'm willing to risk it. Give me that sweet cancer. I don't care. I really don't. Give me one of those.
A note.
The cigarettes are harmless, I promise. Smoking is only poisonous when it ends in bloodshed. Think about this. You don't need a gun to kill Adam.
May I please have a cigarette?
I'm trying to please.
Lawrence presses the phone's buttons. He tries the number again.
Shit. This was meant to receive calls, not make them. This has happened before.
A dimly lit parking lot.
Last night, after I finished at the hospital, I was walking back to my car. I thought I was alone, but I'm sure someone else was there.
Crossing the lot, he pauses briefly, and as he's pinching the bridge of his nose wearily, a camera flashes. He looks up and scans the lot. Then moves on. Through the distortion of a convex security mirror, Lawrence's sleek car pulls up at the doors to the lot. He gets out and walks to a box mounted on a wall beside the doors. Inside is a phone, which he uses. Distracted by the malfunctioning phone, Lawrence is oblivious to a rear passenger door in his vehicle, slowly swinging open. He hangs up the wall phone and, muttering curses, tries his mobile instead. Meanwhile, a figure in red, wearing the pig's head mask and brown wig, crawls out of the open passenger door and slowly moves round to the front of the vehicle. With Lawrence's back turned, the chilling spectre seizes the opportunity to pounce. In the present,
thing is waiting for me.
He shakes his head, and then suddenly becomes aware of Adam once more.
How did you know to turn off the lights?
Who cares? It worked.
Yeah, but how did you know?
Instinct.
Instinct?
Yeah.
You know what? You're a terrible liar.
You say that like you know me.
What else aren't you telling me?
Well, let's see. On my 6th birthday, my best friend at the time, Scott Tibbs, stabbed me with a rusty nail. I didn't tell you about that. I didn't tell you that my last girlfriend, who was a feminist vegan punk, broke up with me because she thought I was too angry. I haven't told you that one of my toenails is slightly...
Just stop it! You knew to turn off these lights.
Whatever.
I'm dealing with a juvenile.
You want to know?
Yeah!
Adam reaches into the bath.
Here it is.
And throws the photo of Allison and Diana over to Lawrence. It lands on the floor, and he has to stretch out to collect it. Their fearful, gagged expressions upset him. He flips the photo over.
Where did you get this?
It was in your wallet, behind the photo of your daughter.
Why didn't you show me this before?
Couldn't.
Lawrence sobs.
I'm sorry.
He strokes the photo, fighting back tears. Meanwhile, Adam sits on some pipework and hangs his head. Lawrence suddenly erupts.
What are you doing to them, you bastard?
He steadies himself to think. He spies the note again.
Think about this. You don't need a gun to kill Adam. When there's that much poison in your blood, the only thing left to do is shoot yourself.
Lawrence studies the pool of slowly congealing blood around the body in the center of the room, then holds up the cigarette Adam was asking for. He's in his corner, cradling his head in his hands, and so doesn't notice Lawrence surreptitiously dip the filtered end of the cigarette in blood. His actions are caught on the black and white monitor. As Lawrence is replacing the cigarette into the box, Adam looks up.
What are you doing?
Lawrence gets up, glances towards the CCTV camera, and then flicks the light switch, plunging the room into darkness.
What the hell are you doing?
Shh. Adam, listen to me. I want you to play along with me on this.
Zepp leans closer to the TV, trying to listen.
You got that?
As Zepp's gloved hand hovers over a gun, the doctor turns the lights back on, and Zepp's hand moves away from the weapon.
So you still want that cigarette?
Yeah, sure.
Lawrence's hand hovers over the blood-tinged one, but he selects a second lying in the box. He glances at the CCTV camera, then throws Adam the cigarette, followed by the lighter. Adam puts it into his mouth and lights up. Taking a couple of deep puffs, he closes his eyes and exhales with pleasure, then takes another drag. He suddenly drops the cigarette, grabs his throat, and has a choking fit, culminating in a death rattle on the floor. Lawrence turns his gaze onto the monitor.
There! I've done it! I've killed him with the poison, just like you wanted. Now where's my family? Where are they?
Adam jerks into life, locked in a painful spasm. He reaches for his shackle.
Christ!
I just got electrocuted!
What? Jesus, that was our way out!
Did you hear what I said? Get this thing off me! Get it off!
Stop acting!
You think I would make that up just to mess up your stupid fucking charade?
All right, that's it.
Lawrence grabs the saw and tries hacking through the thick chain once more.
Damn it!
He throws the saw aside and rests against the wall.
I remember everything now. I remember how I got here.
Sucking on a cigarette, earphones blaring, Adam trudges up some stairs and moves from a red corridor into a run-down apartment. He throws keys onto a kitchen table and opens the fridge, only to be disappointed. Then he shuffles into a side room and turns on a red light to reveal a photo-developing lab. Having set the camera he was holding down, he removes his CD player and earphones and carefully lifts a photograph of Lawrence from a tray of developing solution. He pegs it on a rail alongside several others of the doctor, including the one taken from the parking lot. Drawing away from the darkroom spy hole, and a photographic image of Lawrence wearing sunglasses, drying on the rail. Slumped on a desk in his photo lab, Adam stirs from sleep into total darkness. Taking a moment to orientate himself, he stands up and feels across a wall for a light switch. He yawns and fumbles for a torch. It doesn't work either, so he drops it. The sound of something outside the room alerts him. He stares towards the door, before quietly picking up his camera and looping its strap over his head. He moves over to the door and swings it open. Darkness yawns before him.
Someone there?
His flash briefly illuminates the corridor leading to a bedroom. He creeps across a hallway towards his lounge.
I can hear you.
The flash reveals only his slovenly abode, and so he proceeds into the room. One half of the room appears clear. He points the camera towards a kitchen area. Behind him, the sinister jigsaw puppet is propped up in an armchair. He beats the thing repeatedly with a baseball bat. Directed towards a closed door with a dartboard hanging from it, he cautiously opens it. Takes the camera from his neck and holds his bat ready. In the present, Lawrence notes the time as 5:37. He and Adam jump at the ringing of the mobile phone. But then Lawrence picks it up. He shares an anxious look with Adam before taking the call.
Who is this?
Daddy?
Diana?
Daddy, is that you?
Yeah, baby, it's me. I'm here.
I'm scared, Daddy.
Don't worry, honey. Everything's going to be okay. Where's mommy?
She's here with me.
Let me talk to her, sweetie. Okay? Put mommy on.
The bathroom from my room is here. He has his tied up. And he has a gun.
What man?
Please come home, Daddy.
Hello? Hello? Diana? Diana? Diana!
Their captor holds the phone up for Allison.
Larry?
Allie?
Is Adam there?
How do you know? Allie, what is going on?
Don't believe Adam's lies. He knows you. He knew all about you before today.
The captor snatches the phone and gun away from Allison's head.
Hello? Allie? Allie? Hello? God damn you! If you so much as lay a finger on them, I'll kill you! You hear me? You son of a bitch! I'll kill you!
Lawrence stops ranting at the CCTV monitor and punches the floor in anger.
Are they okay? My wife, she mentioned your name. What did she say? She told me not to believe you. Believe me about what? She told me. You knew me.
Lawrence stands.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
Stop the lies! You're a liar! I need to know the truth! I'm a liar? What did you do last night, Lawrence? Work at a hospital, saving sick children? You told me that after you left your house last night, you went to work at a hospital. That's because it's the truth. No, it's not. Your wife is right, Larry. You don't recall getting your picture taken in that parking lot?
Flashback to the moment in the lot when Lawrence paused to rub his eyes tiredly. Moments before, Adam had got himself into position to take the shot.
I can prove that you didn't go anywhere near a hospital.
Adam reaches into the black packaging he kept and throws a handful of photos at Lawrence.
It's not the first time I've done it either, Larry. I've been taking pictures of you for a few days now.
All of him on the move or at cafes.
Why? You want to know what I do? I get paid to take pictures of rich guys like you who go to seedy out-of-the-way motels to fuck their secretaries. Last night, I went to your house and watched you leave. I followed you. All the way to that shitbag hotel.
You've, had these with you the whole time?
I found them in there with the hacksaws. I don't know how they got there.
Yeah, right. You're so full of it.
Oh, face it, Larry, we're both bullshitters. My camera isn't. It doesn't know how to lie. It only shows you what's put right in front of it. Just out of curiosity, what did you do in that motel room? Get out of there pretty fast.
A young Oriental woman with shoulder-length dark hair holds the door to the motel room open for Lawrence.
Why did you, deem it necessary to page me when you knew I was at home?
I didn't know if you were gonna make it.
But I gave you a precise time at which to page me. You can't do that.
It's not like I know the rules for this sort of stuff.
He stops her from unbuttoning her top.
What's wrong, Dr. Gordon?
Look, what's wrong with me to make you come here?
But I thought we've...
Please. I'm sorry.
He gets up from the bed and lets her hand fall from his. Upset, she covers her face.
You tell me when you're here?
No.
She moves over to the phone and picks up the receiver.
Hello? It's for you.
For me.
Lawrence comes over to take it. His young mistress waits behind him.
Hello? I know what you're doing, Doctor.
Disturbed, Lawrence replaces the handset.
I have to go.
What happened?
I gotta go.
Lawrence enters the parking lot, glancing back over his shoulder. He stops in thought, sighs and pinches the bridge of his nose wearily. The nearby flash makes him look up.
Who was it?
Who was what?
The person who paid you to follow me. Who was it?
He calls himself Bob and he gives me the money up front. $200 a night. If I'd known I was going to end up here, I would have asked for a hell of a lot more.
What does that mean? Does that mean you saw what happened to me?
What I saw was you get into your car, that's it. I didn't ask your name, I didn't know who you were. I don't know how I got here, I don't know how you got here. I just took the shots and went straight home to develop. Next thing I know, I'm chained to a pipe. Some prehistoric bathroom, staring at the guy I've been taking shots of all night.
Clearly, whoever paid you to take pictures of me is the one who put us here.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? Of course it is. What did he look like?
No, he's just a guy.
Was he tall? Was he skinny? Obese? What?
Don't take notes about his appearance.
You must remember something about him.
I can't.
You're telling me you don't remember a thing about the guy?
I told you, I don't...
Oh, for fuck's sake! I give up.
He's a tall black guy. He's got a scar around his neck, okay?
Detective Tapp. Lawrence turns back to Adam in shock.
Tapp. Detective Tapp.
Whoa. The guy who paid me to take these photos was not a cop.
No. He was discharged from the police force. He broke down after his partner was killed. That didn't stop him from harassing me. The guy became obsessed. He convinced himself that I must have somehow been involved with the murders. I mean, he was crazy.
And you helped him. You took money from him to invade my privacy.
How could you do that? Call it my need to eat.
Right. You know what, Adam? You're not a victim of this game. You're part of it.
Oh, really? Obviously, this cop thinks you're the one behind it all.
I told you, he's not a cop. He's a bottom feeder, just like you.
What are you more pissed off about? The fact that I took some shots of you, or the fact that I took some shots of you while you were cheating on your wife?
I did not cheat on her!
What do you care what I think anyway? I don't give a crap if you covered yourself in peanut butter and had a 15-hooker gangbang.
A sick, vacant expression washes over Lawrence. He gazes around and sinks to the floor.
How did I get here? I had everything in order. My whole life was in perfect order.
He stares at the photo of his family. At Lawrence's home, their captor puts Allison and Diana's gags back on. Allison sobs, but then stops when she sees him wander off. She hangs her head and spits the gag from her mouth.
Sweetheart, are you okay?
Diana shakes her head.
Mommy just needs you to be really, 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 really strong right now. I'm not gonna let anybody hurt you. You got that? Okay, that's my good girl.
Allison starts loosening the rope, binding her hands to the bedpost. Adam's perched on the side of the bath with a blank expression until a photo on the floor catches his eye. He reaches for it, a black and white still of a window at Lawrence's apartment. The monitor shows Adam throw his cellmate the photo. Lawrence studies it closely. In the photograph, Zepp is peering out from the window.
I know him. Zepp. His name is Zepp.
He's an orderly at my hospital.
Zepp.
Little
I'm gonna take great pleasure. You bastard fuck!
Lawrence follows Adam's finger up to the clock, which shows the time at 6 o'clock.
We're out of time.
Zepp turns the monitor off, disturbed at the revelation of his identity. Allison's wrists bleed, but she finally frees herself and Diana. Meanwhile, Zepp rocks back and forth before decisively loading a magazine into a gun.
Oh, help me!
Noticing Zepp approaching through the frosted glass of the bedroom door, Allison replaces hers and her daughter's gags. Zepp draws his gun from his waistband and crouches beside Allison.
Dr. Gordon's time is up. Now I've got to do what I've got to do, and I'm afraid it has to be you that tells him he failed.
He removes her gag and holds up the phone. Lawrence answers the phone.
Is that you, Zepp, you bastard?
I know it's you, you son of a bitch!
Larry.
Hallie?
You failed.
Hello? Hello?
Allison's wrestled the gun from Zeb.
Don't move! Stay on the ground. Give me the phone. Give it to me!
Zeb shoves it across the floor towards her. She keeps the gun trained on him as she bends to pick it up.
Larry?
Allie! Honey, you all right?
No. No. No, we're not. Get down! Larry, where are you?
I don't know. I'm being held captive in a room somewhere.
What are you talking about?
I'm so sorry, Allie.
Honey, we need you here.
I'm so sorry for everything. It's my fault.
Please forgive me.
I've always been happy with you.
Mommy!
In a moment of distraction, Zep lunges for the gun.
Allie!
Taps alerted by the shot. The struggle continues. His monitor's delay confirms the second shot, so he loads a gun. Zep's unable to wrestle the gun from Allison's grasp.
Allie! Allie!
Oh, help me!
Wrenched away from the gun, Allison grabs some scissors from her dresser and drives them into Zep's leg, just as Tap bursts into the apartment. Allison goes to free her daughter, and Tap spots Zep sprawled on the floor. Zep and Tap exchange fire. Sobbing, Lawrence sinks to the floor. Allison leads her daughter away.
What the fuck?
Out of bullets, Tap charges Zep. He knocks the gun from Zep, who scrambles after it. Lawrence can only listen, helpless. Zep cracks a vase over Tap's head, then snatches the gun and hops into the lounge, glistening with sweat.
Mrs. Gordon?
He reloads.
Diana? I'm gonna kill your husband now, Mrs. Gordon!
Zep takes something from the desk the CCTV monitor was on and then hurries out. In the bedroom, Tap gets to his feet, reloads his gun, and pursues Zep. Lawrence is jolted from his tears by a bolt of shock through his shackles.
Lawrence!
Foam fills his mouth, and then he falls still.
Lawrence, get up!
Frenetic images of Tap following Zeb as he races through the night.
Lawrence! Get up! I need you!
Adam picks up small bits of debris and starts hurling them at his cellmate's prone form. Lawrence's head lolls from side to side, and he comes to. Oh,
thank God! I thought you were dead!
Electrocuted me.
I told you. The same thing happened to me, see? I wasn't lying, see?
Fuck this shit!
The truck Zep's driving screeches to a halt outside a warehouse. He's caught in Tap's headlights, hobbling into the building. A sign reading, "Caution, raw sewage," hangs above a tall brick corridor that Zep stumbles into. Lawrence is unable to reach the phone. Tap bursts into the corridor. Meanwhile, Zep's painfully descending a ladder. Lawrence tries using the box to extend his reach. Adam watches his distress, but is unable to help. In pain at the bottom of the ladder, Zepp glances up momentarily and then dashes away along another dingy tunnel, but taps closing in. And when he makes it into the tunnel, Zepp opens fire. Tap returns a shot and Zepp hurries on.
No! Lawrence, calm down. There must be a way out of this.
Oh, shut up! Shut up! My family needs me! No, God! God! No!
In utter desperation, Lawrence tries to tuck his foot through its shackle.
Lawrence, I have a family too. I don't see them. That's my mistake. It's a mistake I'd like to fix.
Tap's pursuit of Zepp continues.
I'm a king, you sick asshole!
Lawrence ties his shirt around his ankle.
No! Oh, my God! Lawrence! Oh, what are you doing?
He pulls it tight and raises the saw. Adam doubles over in disgust as the metal blade hacks into Lawrence's flesh. Blood squirts up. But Lawrence soars on with savagery. In a corridor strewn with wires and paperwork, Tap catches Zepp and tackles him to the ground. Tap slams Zepp's hand against a grey electrical housing and he drops his gun. The detective then hurls Zepp into some wire fencing. Against Lawrence's self-mutilation, Tap punches Zepp to the ground, but they both reach for the gun and their struggle continues. Lawrence finally throws the saw aside. Zepp ducks and the gun goes off in Tap's chest. Lawrence crawls to the bullet.
What are you doing?
Tap staggers back with blood seeping from his chest and falls to the ground. Zepp stands over him briefly, then hobbles on. Lawrence wrests the gun from the hand of the body in their cell and loads it.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Lawrence, don't! No! No, Lawrence, please! I'm begging you! Lawrence, it's not me who did this to you!
You have to die.
No, I want to live! I want to live!
I'm sorry.
I want to live!
My family.
Adam's arms fall from shielding himself and he slumps to the ground. Lawrence is anemic through blood loss.
I've done it! Now show them to me!
He rests his head against the floor.
Thank you very much, officer.
Larry?
Did you get through to him?
No, there's still no answer.
It's all right. I've called the police. Everything is okay. Yeah.
An Asian family are caring for Allison and her traumatized daughter, who hug each other tightly. Lawrence sits up, delirious, as the door to the shower room slides open, revealing Zepp.
I'll fucking kill you! I'll fucking kill you! You fucking bastard! I'll fucking kill you! You fucking bastard! I'll fucking kill you! I'll fucking kill you!
He fires repeatedly at Zepp, but the gun's empty. Zepp kicks Adam to check he's dead, then aims his gun at Lawrence.
You're too late.
Why?
It's the rules.
Adam lunges for Zepp. He hauls him to the ground, wrestling for the gun. He forces it from Zepp's grasp, punches him, then clobbers him with the cistern cover. Lawrence crawls over to stop his cellmate's murderous frenzy. Adam clasps his wounded shoulder in agony as their foreheads touch.
You're gonna be all right. You're just wounded in the shoulder. I have to go and get help. If I don't get help, I'm going to bleed to death.
Don't leave me. No. No. No.
Lawrence crawls away from Adam's pleading arms and heads for the cell door. Caked in blood, he pauses and glances back.
Don't worry. I'll bring someone back. I promise.
Lawrence! Lawrence!
Hauling himself to the doorway, Lawrence looks back at Adam with a deathly pallor.
We're gonna be okay.
I wouldn't lie to you.
Lawrence drags himself out of the room. Gripped with panic, Adam takes a moment to think, then looks at Zeb's body. He starts rifling through the dead man's pockets until he discovers a wallet. There's nothing of use in it, so he casts it aside and continues searching. In excruciating agony from his shoulder wound, his one good arm discovers a tape player in Zeb's jacket. He looks at it and frowns in confusion, then presses play.
Hello, Mr. Hindle. Or as they called you around the hospital. Zeb, I want you to make a choice.
Allison and Diana's capture.
There's a slow-acting poison coursing through your system, which only I have the antidote for.
Will you murder a mother and her child to save yourself?
Dr. Gordon's time is up.
Mrs. Gordon!
Listen carefully, if you will. There are rules.
What? It's the rules.
Adam stops the tape with a look of dismay. Beside him, in the center of the room, the body that's been still throughout the entire ordeal slowly rises. On all fours, the bald man stretches his stiff limbs and arches his back. He then reaches around and peels a prosthetic head wound off his scalp. Adam looks on aghast as the middle-aged man rises to his feet and stretches out fully.
Key to that chain is in the bathtub.
Adam remembers with distress the water draining away and taking the floating key on a chain with it. Jigsaw is Lawrence's patient from the hospital.
He's a very interesting person. His name is John.
He has an inoperable frontal lobe tumor.
I'm sick from the disease eating away at me inside.
Sounds like our friend Jigsaw.
I'm sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings.
Looks like our guy likes to book himself front row seats to his own sick routines.
Hello, Mark.
Paul. Amanda.
Zep.
Adam. Dr. Gordon. I want to play a game.
Adam lunges for the gun, but Jigsaw's remote activates the shock device, sending an electrical current coursing through Adam's body. A montage of images from Jigsaw's projects flash up. Leaving Adam recovering over Zep's bloody corpse, Jigsaw calmly switches off the light and slides the door shut.
Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. But not you. Not anymore. Game over!